All right, grab a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're rolling right through Philippians this summer, and we've been talking about how God wants to use the areas of our lives that seem to steal our joy to fill us with joy. And one of the places where we may struggle to find joy is in our job. It is the elephant in the room. It is the great necessary evil. We have to have a job. We have to work to earn a living. The question is, can we find joy there? Well, the truth is that God wants to use our work, our career, our job to bring joy into our lives. Now, check it out. If we can learn to have joy on our job, we can learn to live with joy in just about any area of our lives. See, if we don't figure this out, we will tend to think that we can only experience joy on the weekends. If we don't figure this out, we will only experience joy when we're on a vacation from our work. And listen, we spend a lot more time at work than we do on vacation. And so we need to learn to experience joy on the job. And we know this is true. Some people love their jobs. Some people hate their jobs. Some people are absolutely miserable in their job. So how do we learn to live with joy in our job and through our job? And some of us, if we're honest, our job is sucking the joy right out of us. For some of us, we even like our job, and it is still stealing joy from us. Now, if you're struggling with joy on the job, or if you'd like to experience more joy through your work, I have good news for you. The Bible talks a lot about work. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but we should think about this. All of the men that God used to pen the Bible had jobs. They were all working men. Some of them were kings, some of them were fishermen, some of them were shepherds. Paul, the guy who wrote this letter, was a tent maker by trade. They all had jobs, and many of them wrote about how God worked in their lives through their work. Some of us are having our joy drained by our jobs. Some of us would like to quit our jobs, but quitting is not an option, and I don't recommend it in this economy. And the other thing about our jobs is that there are other people there. And we have to work with people. And that complicates things. And as we will see today, Paul was not immune to this. He had co-workers. There were many people who worked alongside of him. Paul worked with Barnabas, Luke, Silas, Titus, Lydia, Aquila, Priscilla, and others. Now, to help us get a grasp of this joy in the job thing, we're going to get acquainted with two of the men that worked with Paul in the ministry. And we're going to see what made them joyful. And we're going to see how they were able to live in and experience joy through their work. Now, let's be clear about this. If you think that people who work in ministry are always joyful, you would be way off. If you think that people in ministry ought to always be joyful, you're dreaming. We need to understand that these particular men had stones hurled at them. They had been thrown out of towns. Their reputations took a beating. They walked just about everywhere they went. So how did they live with joy? Well, we're going to see a young pastor named Timothy and another young servant in the church whose name was Epaphroditus. And we will see how God worked in their lives. And we will see how God wants to work in our lives too. So let's pick up in verse 19, Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. And then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. And I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy has proved himself, like a son with his father. He has served with me in preaching the good news. And I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. And I'm sending him because he's been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. And welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. How do I have joy on the job? How do I experience joy at work? We can even carry it over into the church and say, how can I have joy in ministry? How can I have joy in the places where I serve? Well, check it out. If I'm going to live with joy in the job, I must take a genuine interest in others. That is really where it begins. To live with joy on the job, I must take an interest in others. That is the way it was for Timothy. That is where it starts. Now, doesn't it make sense that even in the worst job, if I can take an interest in the people that are there, God can bring some joy into my life? That's the way it was for a man named Timothy. And here is a key to Timothy's life and a key to his joy. He is concerned for others, and he cares about what matters to Jesus Christ. Now, if we can own this, it can be life-altering. If we were to go to work with a true concern for others and with a true desire to do what matters most to Jesus Christ, it would change our lives, and it would probably change our workplace and the lives of the people that we work with. Now, as we have talked in weeks past, real joy is found in thinking of others before ourselves. If my work is about me, then my joy will fade. And the way that I get the focus off of me is to focus on the interests of Jesus Christ. I become a manager of the interests of Jesus Christ. Now listen, check this out. You were sent to your workplace to look out for the interests of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? You were sent by God to your workplace to look out for the interests of Jesus Christ. That means this is bigger than us. This is bigger than our jobs. This is about the kingdom of God. You are there. You are where you work because God has strategically placed you there. God put you there for a purpose. And when we realize that we are there for God's purposes, it will change our level of joy. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm not sure that God put me here for his purposes. I'm not sure that God put me on that job for his purposes. Well, if not, then why are you there? Are you just there to do a job and collect a paycheck? Is that all there is to life? God has a purpose for you there. So every morning you should pray, God, help me care for the people that I work with. God, show me your work at work today. Now, do you remember what Paul's job was when he was writing this letter? At that point in his life, his job was prisoner, slave. He did not claim his apostolic position. He said, I'm a prisoner. And so I preach to the guards and everybody else that comes in here. He was there for a purpose. If I want to experience joy in the job, number two, I must associate with the experts. Now, here's what I mean by that. You must learn your craft to the best of your ability. Get alongside of the best at your job. Get alongside of an expert and hone your craft. That is what Timothy and Epaphroditus did. They wanted to make a difference in the church and in the world. They wanted to make an impact in ministry. So they started working with Paul. And Paul is without question one of the greatest preachers ever. He was without question the greatest church planner and missionary ever. And they wanted to learn everything they could from Paul. So whatever it is that you do, cozy up to the very best and learn from them. Watch somebody who knows how to do it and learn from them. I mean, there's something about observing somebody who really knows how to do the job right. Now, one of the things that we learn here is about preparation. Preparation is a big key to life. Be prepared for what God will do at work tomorrow. Timothy wanted to be prepared for what God would do through his work. Now, at the time, he probably did not realize that he would be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. But he was. God was preparing him for the future. What does God want you to do tomorrow, or next year, or in 10 years? Whatever it is, prepare for what God will do in your life. Number three, you've got to improve your relationships. If I'm going to live with joy in the job, I must improve my relationships. Now, we touched on this briefly, but let's talk a little bit about it more in depth. Living with joy in the job will always involve working with people. And if you cannot make the relationships work, then joy will escape you. Now, Paul had this guy in his life named Epaphroditus. Most of us know about Timothy, but we may not know as much about Edite. That's what I'm going to call him from now on in the message, because I don't want to say Epaphroditus a bunch of times. Edite was from Philippi. Paul's writing this letter to the people, to the church at Philippi. Edite was from Philippi. And the people at Philippi were concerned about Paul and had received an offering for Paul that they had sent to him. And then they send Edite to him as well. And Edite went to assist Paul in any way that he could. And he made a conscious decision to partner with Paul, knowing full well that if Paul were executed, he might be next in line. Now look at the words that Paul uses to describe Edite. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now folks, that is amazing respect in a working relationship. That type of work environment will lend itself to joy. He is a brother, he is a co-worker, that means the work is shared, and he is a soldier. You can go to war with this guy. Now listen, we must have some people at work that we know will work with us and go with us and stand with us. We need some people at work that we can count on. And if we don't develop some relationships, we will never know that to be true, and joy will escape us at work. Number four, if I'm going to live with joy in the job, I have to respect my leaders. Now, without question, this is an enormous factor in living with joy in the job. You must get along with your boss. And it's really about respect. Now, some of you are going to bristle at this. Respect my boss? Really? You're asking me to respect my boss? Check this out. You don't have to respect their lifestyle. You don't have to respect their leadership style. But God has called you to respect their position of leadership in your life. And the attitude that you and I have towards the leaders in our lives is either going to amplify our joy or depress our joy. And whether we like it or not, our bosses, our leaders at work, they impact our lives. And if we want to live with joy on the job, we've got to respect our leaders at work. Now, here's a couple tips for respecting your boss. First of all, maximize their potential. That's what Edite did for Paul. Now, Paul says that he was sending him back because he was ill. Paul could not go to Philippi, but he could send Edite back. Paul was maximizing his potential. Edite was making it happen. Paul's potential was being maximized by Epaphroditus. Make your boss look good. And it doesn't matter if you get credit for it. Make your boss look good, and your joy will increase. And odds are that somebody will notice. Maximize your boss's potential and then minimize their anxiety. Paul said, if I send him back to you, my anxiety will decrease. Edite is willing to go to minimize Paul's anxiety. Now, let's be honest. Some people take great joy in making their boss's life a living hell. They may do it intentionally or unintentionally, but think about this. If you increase your boss's anxiety, what will happen next? Your anxiety will increase. Your boss will see to it. Paul goes on to say, if you want to live with joy in the job, then honor those who work well. Paul was really good at this. He was always giving somebody props for a job well done. By the way, and again, just a reminder, these principles apply to your ministry as well. We need to recognize those who do well. In this passage, Paul is recognizing all that Edite has done. He is your messenger. He has taken care of me. We need to reward those who do well. Pats on the back are good. Attaboys are good. Physical reward is another thing altogether. And listen, we recognize people with words and we reward them with actions. You see, Paul still needs Epaphroditus. He still needs Edite. But he's sending him home. He's rewarding him for a job well done. If we are in the position to do so at work, we must honor those who work well. And think about it. We want to be honored when we do well. And here's what I believe to be most important. People want to know that we care and that they matter. They want to know that their opinion counts. They want to know that they're important. They want to know that they are an integral part of the team. Now, they may want to be compensated too, but that's just part of it. People want opportunities to grow. They want to be given the tools to get the job done. So honor those who work well. And here's one more. To live with joy in the job, I must take a chance. You know, part of living with joy is taking chances. Work without risk is work without joy. As Christ followers, we are not called to play it safe. Jesus didn't play it safe. Paul did not play it safe. Edite did not play it safe. He was ill, but he came to work. And look at what Paul says about him, again in verse 29. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ. And he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Now listen, to live with joy on the job, we must live out our faith. And it can be risky. Many workplaces are not Christian friendly. And please understand, I am not advocating that anybody be that obnoxious Christian on the job. And I'm certainly not asking you to risk your employment. However, God has us in that place for a reason. God has us there to live out his purposes. God has you there to see lives changed. Now, it may be risky, but the truth is, in America, we don't take a lot of chances in our faith. Believers who live in China or predominantly Muslim countries are really taking a chance to follow Christ. And to really live with joy in the job, you're going to have to take a chance and be a witness and testimony to your Lord Jesus Christ. And again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're the self-appointed preacher in the break room. I'm not asking you to be obnoxious. But this is what I am saying. On your way to work tomorrow, just pray. Jesus, I am willing to take a chance at work today. God, when you ask, I'm there. When you open a door or a conversation and I have a chance to tell of your great love, I will. I'll take the chance. Just open your heart to God's leading on the job. Now let me ask you this. What would it be like to see the life of your coworker changed? What would it be like to know that the person that you work with is on the way to heaven because you followed God's leading and you shared Christ? I can't say it enough. You are not just there to do a job and collect a paycheck. You are there because God put you there. You are there to live out God's purposes in that place for his honor and glory. Take a chance. Now, will it require some faith? Definitely. Will it be worth it? I think so. Will there be some consequences? Probably. And will God use you? For sure. Now, if you're not at a place in your life or in your walk with Christ where you can be real bold, then at least take a chance and do this. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. At the very least, as a Christ follower, take a chance and do your work the very best that you can. And when you are honored because of your good work, remind them that you work for Jesus Christ. And I love those words. Whatever you do. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter what the task is. It doesn't matter if you're the boss or the most recently employed. Work as though you are working for the Lord. Work for the glory of God. And if you don't get anything else today, get this. If you want to live with joy in the job, you have to remember that you work for the Lord. Yeah, other people may give me assignments. My boss might tell me what to do. But I work for God. He is my Lord and Master. And whatever I do, I will do for His glory. Let's pray. God, so many times we can see our work as the necessary evil. It's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that you have placed us there for your purposes. And God, we can get caught up in the work. We can get caught up in the drama. And we can be at odds with our co-workers and with our boss. And ultimately, God, we can get disillusioned with the whole thing. But Father, we want to live with joy in the job. We want to live out our purpose there. We want to do everything in a way that honors you. And we want to have an impact on those around us. So we pray that you would use us on the job tomorrow. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.